So Jordan mentioned the PAWS Act, which is sailing through, I hope, Congress. I'm very familiar with that. And that is all about providing an opportunity for people to go with their entire families should there be domestic abuse and should there be need to flee the situation to go to a shelter. And currently in the United States, a small, and I mean minuscule percent, that percent, by the way, in Chicago is zero, of shelters for domestic violence victims allow companion animals. I happen to be on the National Coalink Steering Committee, and we're working on this as well, and I'm very, very familiar with it, and I appreciate this going through Congress, but my hope is this is only a start. And I will tell you, among all of the congressmen in both the Senate as well as House of Representatives, one of the most forward-thinking and one of the most thinking about the humane issues is U.S. Representative Mike Quigley from right here in Chicago, 5th District. Hello, Representative. How are you?
I'm okay. Glad to be back on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. Thank you so much for doing this. And they found the tiger. So here's the story. You look outside your window. If you happen to live in this development in Houston, a residential area where kids going by all the time, apparently on bicycles and skateboards, doing what kids do. It's a very nice area. You look outside your window and you see a tiger, a juvenile 9-month-old tiger. So young, but big enough, and still a tiger, a real tiger. And it turns out, so I asked this question earlier in the show, and you may or may not be familiar with it. It's one of those crazy trivia questions. Where are there more tigers than anywhere else on the planet? And people might say Russia, because you think Siberian tigers or the Amur tiger, one and the same. Or they may think Bengal tiger and therefore say India. The truth of the matter is, the answer is Texas. Crazy, isn't that?
Yeah, it's the scene out of a movie, what, with Tony Montana.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a tiger in your apartment or your house.
Well, and it's not only that. It's these roadside zoos as well. And,
right.
And both the tiger or lion or leopard or whatever big cat of your choice may be is clearly not getting all they need, even if the person somehow means well by having them. The roadside zoos can't provide for them either, and they exploit the animals, and you are doing something about it.
Yeah, we passed a piece of legislation out of the House last session, and we're reintroducing it with the anticipation that it'll pass the House and Senate, and President Biden will sign it. But the big cat bill outlaws the private possession of big cats like lions, tigers, panthers, except at highly qualified facilities that can safely and humanely care for these animals. Anyone who currently owns such a big cat would have to register the animals with the USDA. And finally, it would also prohibit the breeding of big cats outside of accredited zoos, research, and educational facilities. So we eventually can eliminate this inhumane, as you just talked about in Houston, very, very dangerous practice. You mentioned the concern for, you know, kids and those who happen to be in proximity of this big cat. You know, the legislation is endorsed by Fraternal Order of Police for a reason. You know, who gets called when something bad happens or when an animal escapes? It's often law enforcement whose lives are at risk and who sometimes have to make a horrible decision to kill these beautiful animals.
Well, and in fact, as I say, you are doing something about it. If people agree with what you're doing, do you recommend, or on anything, here's the question I have, do you really listen to the constituents, not only you, but your colleagues?
You know, I think they do. I think people would be surprised just how much they listen. And what works? A phone call, a thoughtful email, those all count. Reaching out to the constituent office, all members have in their districts, and just an informed, thoughtful communication, non-threatening, just sort of calm and reasoned, and get your friends to join you. You'd be surprised. I got to tell you, for me, it's not just a way of gauging support. it's a way of learning. I'll bet a quarter of the bills I've introduced as a Cook County commissioner or as a congressman have come from people communicating with their office, talking about a notion, an idea, students, academic institutions, just have really good ideas or push you toward an action on something and you develop some ideas. And obviously for me, having a thoughtful staff that cares about these issues, if you give them the ability to do the research that's necessary, you can come forward. On this one, everyone assumes this came because of the Tiger King show that was on.
Yeah.
You know, this came, our bill came first, but, and I can't watch Tiger King because it's hard for me to watch animals being treated that way, but in its own way, it has helped because it raises awareness.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly important.
I guess so, but the good thing about your bill is it would also close down places just like that that are strewn not only all over Texas, but all over America. And the little bit of time we have left, I want to ask you about one more thing. So you've stepped forward and said, we want to prevent, if we possibly can, a pandemic like this from happening ever again. Now, it is thought by most, not everyone, that the pandemic began in one of these so-called wet markets in China, where all of these animals illegally are kept in close proximity to one another. They're butchered right on their spot without any attention to cleanliness or hygiene or anything like that. No wonder why there is, and there is, disease transmission. I talked to Jane Goodall, the primatologist, and I talked to her, I don't know, 4 or 5 months before the pandemic. She essentially predicted that this was going to happen. I talked to Sir David Attenborough. He predicted this was going to happen. Didn't say when, didn't say how, but as a result of these so-called wet markets. You cannot, I presume, do anything directly about what China and other Asian countries do, but you can do something about America.
You know, I think it has an impact on what China does. And I think what you're referencing is a piece of legislation with incredible bipartisan support. It's Preventing Future Pandemics Act. This is a piece of legislation which has an excellent chance of passing, right? And it does many things. The most important that you're referring to is it takes the United States out of that trade. It prevents the import or export of wildlife for consumption, therefore reducing dramatically the market and therefore the risk. I learned a long time ago, if you want people to support legislation that addresses the humane treatment of animals or the environment, you need multiple reasons for people to support it, right? I mean, sometimes we appeal to their heart and we hit them in a different spot, like Upton Sinclair said about the jungle. He was concerned with how people were treated. They were concerned about their stomachs. It did change things anyway. So obviously this goes after the humane treatment of animals, but it also addresses a very real concern, and that is the zoonotic diseases, such as the one we're experiencing now. And with climate change and other factors, those risks are going to continue to rise, in fact. So I think a couple pieces of legislation, bipartisan support, it goes a long way to doing the right thing and the smart thing at the same time.
And for those who don't know what you're referring to, it is thought specifically that a species still to be determined, but they think they know, native to that region in China, of bat. So bats are butchered there, but bats also carry a variety of coronaviruses, some not even identified. Now, the coronaviruses live just fine with the bat, and the bat lives just fine with them. They don't get sick. What we could learn is the secret to how bats are able to do that. And if we can do that, then we learn from these bats, but definitely doing something about it directly like you intend to do is just wonderful. Congressman, it is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, you know, look, and I just had to say, I typically go on with a much younger Paul Lisnick and his show, but he told me just this one time, you can go on with the old guy.
I don't know who that would be. You know what? You are involved in these sorts of things. So look it up. Paul Lisnick's social security number is one. Number one. Thank you, Congressman.
All right. Take care now.
Okay.